Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I'm going to go ahead and get started. I don't have anything to turn to right yet, here in just a few minutes, but I was on Facebook, and I seen something posted to a Sovereign Grace group, and it doesn't matter who wrote it, but this was given and had the heading of Hot Take. So here is the quote from what was said. Quote, Jeremiah 17:9 doesn't apply to the Christian whose heart has been cleansed and made new by the blood of the Lamb. This is not me saying that Christians are to be following their hearts. Our hearts are to be led and subdued by the word of the Lord. But my point is, if we are in Christ, our hearts are no longer depraved or in the bondage of iniquity. The Lord Jesus Christ dwells in our hearts. He is supreme Lord of our hearts, and our hearts that were once desperately wicked and hostile to God are now hungering and thirsting after His righteousness and longing to become more like Christ. End quote. This statement might sound good to some folks, but it's a complete lie on God and what He tells us in His Word on several things. It is, at the very least, not very clear, for sure. Because it does have some things in pieces of it, it is okay, and it says that it's okay. This was given the heading, Hot Take, by the one writing it, and of course someone else shared it, boasting about it. I read in Scripture in 2 Peter 1:20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what our take on God's Word is, whether it be hot or cold. What God says in His Word is true no matter what our take is on the matter.
Exactly.
When it says no prophecy of the Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, it means it does not matter what our take is on it.
Exactly.
Now, maybe God will show the one that wrote this different one day, and maybe the one that shared it. But what was surmised by this individual is totally wrong, and I hope to show that today. But turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John 1. First John 1 right now, I've got a couple of places in John I want to turn to and read before we get started here. But 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. First John 1, verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard. I think I'm in the wrong place here. I am. I'm in chapter 2, not chapter 1, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Okay. Verse 5 of chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen.
Now turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 is what I want to read. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 9. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, Job. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Yes.
Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Two different passages in the same book, and kind of seem like they conflict with one another, don't they?
Yeah.
But we're going to lay a straight stick down and look, and then from that, and the straight stick is this.
Exactly.
And we're going to lay that down, and we're going to see what the truth is, and then thereby we can see what's crooked. So let's look at today and see what part of Scripture applies to us. This will be a short one. And that is his chosen, called out people. What applies to us? What is our state as we are born in Adam? What are we as we are born from above? And how does this explain things? That's my headings. So what a part of Scripture applies to us? Those who have been chosen out and called, those who have been regenerated, if you will, and have heard the gospel and believe. 2 Timothy 3:15-17, we read this. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
So what does this say? All Scripture, or that is, the whole of Scripture, is given for these very reasons. So for someone to tell me something doesn't apply to the Christian is just flat out wrong.
Yeah.
It's for these reasons it's good. Doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. So all Scripture is for the man of God. That is, for those who stand up and proclaim his word, and for all those who hear his word.
Yes, sir.
So telling me something does not apply to the Christian is a flat-out lie against God and what he says in his word. Because all of his word is God-breathed and applies to the Christian. That seems pretty simple to me, but there are some who cannot see this. I tell you these things because, you know, especially when you hear it on a Sovereign Grace site, someone may go there and not really be paying attention to what they're reading and think what they're reading is good, but it's not from God. That what I read you was not from God's Word. But let's go on and see even more what we can see from Scripture and how it applies to this called out one. So next we have, what is our state as we are born in Adam? We have a short, simple verse that tells us this. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
and keep in mind our text in 1 John. So we have all sinned, and not only that, we are all sin by nature. We are the fountain of sin, and that brings forth sin as the stream. Why is this? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart we are born with is deceitful. It's not just a little bit deceitful.
Yeah.
It is deceitful above all things. It is incurably wicked. That's what it says. And I want you to notice that. The word means incurable. This heart cannot be cured. God is not going to fix up our heart or fix us up. There is no fixing this fallen, sinful flesh. It is as bad as it can be. It will deceive you into thinking you are doing pretty good. It will deceive you by taking pieces of Scripture but not considering the whole of Scripture. This world does this all the time. They pull out pieces of Scripture and do not look at them with a preponderant testimony of Scripture. And it's easy to do. To have a doctrine in your mind that you want to defend and simply ignore Scriptures that show you to be a liar. That shows you to be a liar by doing that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So whatever is going to be good or do good, it's not going to be what we are born with in Adam. God is clear to us and what we are by nature. We are sick from head to toe, and everything we do, even our righteousnesses, are filthy rags in God's sight.
Yes, sir.
What else do we read? James 1, verses 23 through 25. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God's people know that they are still corrupt as they can be. Knowing and holding to that perfect law of liberty, that is, that law by faith, they see and know what Christ has done, which has secured their salvation.
Amen.
The unregenerate and the reprobate cannot see this because they do not have that new creation.
Yes, sir.
That new creature which has eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and a heart that understands. He has not, however, taken away that old man or that old heart. I've read to you this before, the passages that we've read in the Old Testament from Ezekiel 11:19. "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh." And also in Ezekiel 36:26, it says about the same thing. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." I know when most read this, and seeing it saying both these things at the same time, makes them see this happening at the same time. This does not say that he will do this at one time. Meaning the same time he gives a new heart, he will take away the stony heart at the same time.
Right.
If we look into the mirror and forget what manner of man we were, and yes, I do say we were.
Yeah.
I will explain that a little later. But that old man had no life. He had no understanding and had no sight or hearing. God's people remember the pit from whence they were digged. What do we read of David? David was a man where it said God had sought him out, and that he was a man after God's own heart. I know this is speaking of one greater than David, and that's Jesus Christ. But God did choose David from his father's sons. That's from Jesse's sons. What do we read in the Psalms from David, who followed after God and after that time with Bathsheba, where he committed adultery and murder and lies against God? We read in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God hears before we even ask. God gives before we even ask. For a man to know he needs a new heart, he has that heart before he even asks. He would not know otherwise if he did not already have that heart. What does Christ tell us in the New Testament, Matthew 15:19? "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Do you have evil thoughts? Not talking about actions, I'm just talking about thoughts.
That's right.
If you so say no, God says you make him a liar. Mm-hmm. This is talking to God's people when it says that, 1 John 1:8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And also in verse 10, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Mm-hmm. We have this old man with us. And though we do not follow after this old man, we follow after Christ in the new man. But we still have that old man, and with every fiber it has, it cries out, "I will not have this man reign over me." But we have another account that we are all very familiar with. And if you would, turn with me to Romans 7. Romans 7. Romans 7 and verses 18 through 23. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." There is this battle. This battle, who some mockingly sometimes like to say, makes us schizophrenic. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the thoughts I have and the way I feel sometimes, I feel a little bit schizophrenic with some of those. It's a real battle. One that every believer has because they have been created new. But they still have that old man. What does this cause Paul to say in the next verse? "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We are wretches. We are in a trial in this life constantly. But Paul does not stop there. He says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There is only one answer, and that answer is Christ.
Amen.
He gives us a new heart. He creates us new. This is not talking about creating the Holy Spirit in us. For what need is there of creating the Spirit of God new? As Joe and I was talking about this one time, he made this statement, and it's certainly true. Does God create a new creation of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has always been. The Holy Spirit is the I am.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit is not created, period. He is given by Jesus Christ to those to whom he loves. This is a new man created, which then has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to guide them. Think about it. If we only have one heart and the Spirit is guiding us in that heart, why do we sin? Do you have evil thoughts? Is the Spirit of God guiding you into that? God forbid. God does not tempt any man. James 1:13-14 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God.
Yes.
For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Amen.
It is this old man which we still have with us. He is as corrupt as he ever was. But what about this new man? So what are we as we are born from above? James 1:17 we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So that new man is perfect. That new man with the fruit of the Spirit has many perfect gifts. That new man that is in Christ and is filled with the Holy Spirit from above does as the Lord directs his steps.
Yes,
if we say we do not sin, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar.
That's it.
If when we become Christians, and if the heart we are born with in Adam is led by the Spirit of God, then why do we fall? There is no doubt that we do fall. But that new man, that new heart, is led by the indwelling Spirit of God, and with those fruit of the Spirit, of which there is no law against, those things, the new man honors him. But there's nothing about that new man that causes him to look within himself to find righteousness. What do we read in 1 John 3:3? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What hope is it talking about? Back up in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There will come a time when we will put off this body of flesh, this flesh which does always fight against God. That fight that comes from this old man is a fight that thinks, I can of myself do something worthy of God. But the new man knows he is created by God, and that everything that he is and does comes from God.
That's it.
What do we go on to read in 1 John 3:4? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But this new creation is born of God. But let's keep reading it in verse 5 of 1 John 3. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus Christ has no sin, and it was his purpose to come into this world to take away our sins, and he did.
Amen.
Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Is the Apostle John telling us one thing and then telling us another? No. That new man created in Christ Jesus does not sin. This new man, what does he look like? I can't tell you. All I can tell you is what God tells us. If we abide in him, we have no sin, and we sin not. So 1 John 3:7-9, let's read that. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. So what is the reason why this new man doth not commit sin? His seed remaineth in him. He has the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in him.
Sir.
So we have next, how does this explain things? I think it's kind of apparent already. We've been looking at these things, but we have, as Scripture puts it, this old man. And if you're one of God's and you are born of God, you also have the new man. both at the same time.
Yes.
We are as bad as we can be, but also perfect and righteous in Christ Jesus at the same time.
Amen.
Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Not that we have no sin, because this old man is full of sin. Jesus Christ crucified that old man on that tree. Being born of God, we no longer serve sin. Not that we do not sin, but we no longer serve sin. Should God leave us but a moment and take his hand from us, we would fall into a deep, dark pit.
Yes.
But he does not take his hand from us. He does allow us to fall, but he and only he is able to keep us from falling. I do not have it in me of myself to keep myself from falling.
That's right.
Isn't that what we're told in Jude? To him that is able to keep us from falling is who we look to.
That's right.
He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But I want to give another verse of scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You don't think you are as bad as you can be? God tells us that the old man which we still have with us is corrupt.
Yeah.
That word corrupt there means to ruin.
Yeah.
We are told to put off this old man. How are we to do that? We look to Jesus Christ. We look to him for everything. We can do nothing if it were not for God. I do not look to myself, for if I do, I will see nothing but corruption, and it will have its way. But I look to him and trust him that one day I will totally put off this old man. We read it already in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are waiting in hope for that day that Jesus Christ will return, and we will see him as he is. We see through a glass darkly right now. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known.